So Derek Warwick joins me once again. Derek, thanks for your time. Obviously, last time we spoke was just before pre-season testing began, and we both had the feeling at the time that Lewis Hamilton and McLaren were going to have a pretty good season, which they are. But as we all know, there's been a few up and downs along the way, as usual. So what have you made of it all so far?
I think I've been a little bit disappointed with the McLaren performance this year.
Yeah.
I said even after the first two or three races, for Lewis just to carry on doing what he was doing, because I didn't think he was doing anything wrong. There was a few circumstances that went against him, the Maldonado thing and the pit stops and bits and pieces. So I did feel that McLaren had the better car at the start of the year. I think they've lost that advantage. I think Red Bull now have the car to beat. But the driver to beat without a doubt at the moment for me is Alonso. You know, he's always been, the best driver pound for pound out there. And he's proving it, because in an underperforming relative to McLaren and Red Bull, I mean, he's just been superb. And that win at Valencia last weekend was right out the top draw. It was just amazing. It really was. But that aside, it's been a bit of a quirky season. You know, 7 wins out of the first 7 races was pretty unusual and broke every record, as we both know. For me, the 8th wonder of the world was Maldonado winning in Spain, because I would have put all my earthly treasures on Maldonado never winning a Grand Prix all the time he took a breath of air. But I have to say that at Barcelona, he was lucky to get pole, because Lewis had pole, and probably Lewis might have gone on to win that race, but that's if only. The facts were he led the race, he drove fantastically, he reduced his lead to save his tyres to allow Alonso to catch, and the last person you need catching you is Alonso. It was a spectacular win, but do I think he will ever win a race again? Absolutely not. So he was the strange effect within the season, I think. But that aside, it's been a great year. I mean, what a fantastic year. Here you are with a dominant Red Bull, and now they're tripping over themselves. So it's a really weird, you have to say that maybe it's going to be Alonso's year. You know, maybe the consistency, good driving is going to pay off at the end of the year, because for sure all year he's not had the best car, but made the best of that situation, which is pretty phenomenal, really.
And after all of the domination last year, everybody said they wanted a bit of a mix-up. We've now got that mix-up, and you've still got people complaining that it's too mixed up. So I don't really subscribe to that, do you?
Yeah, but you know what? I listened to what Maastricht was saying a few races ago, and that was he didn't join Formula One for it to be a lottery. And I think because nobody really understands the tyres, and if we're talking about some of the cleverest people in the world, certainly in motor racing, don't understand where the tyres come on song, where they come off song, when it's temperature related, whether it's tarmac related. Pirelli just seemed to have produced a compound, a construction that is beyond belief in terms of teams, engineers and drivers. And I think that's where the clever drivers seem to make up for that, because people like Alonso seem to be more on top of it than others. But gradually, that's equaling itself out now, I think.
And as Fernando Alonso knows probably better than anybody in this game, it is all about consistency, isn't it? Look at 2005, for example.
It is. But, you know, I think cream always rises. You've got Vettel down in fourth at the moment, and you wouldn't put your house on him still not coming through and winning the world championship. You know, he is still a phenomenal driver, as we all know. You know, I think there is a pecking order, and I'm not going to put these in order. I'm just going to give you the top three.
Go on.
And that's Lewis, Vettel, and Alonso. You know, they are, I think, a little bit above the rest at the moment. in people like Jensen and Nico, Schumacher, Weber, are just a fraction of a second behind those top three. But those top three are the best in Formula One at the moment, and they're the guys that everybody's going to have to beat by the end of the season.
I was watching back some footage the other day, Derek, and you were alongside Murray Walker in the commentary box for the Canadian Grand Prix in 1998. I don't know if you'd want to do that now, would you? Very difficult to call it this year.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, somebody that's talking down the mic, yeah. It's kind of confusing for them because they think that somebody's romping off with the Grand Prix, and all of a sudden they hit this wooden wall, as we saw with Lewis at the last race. And then, but they don't know whether it's going to happen 5 laps from the end, 3 laps from the end, or 2 laps from the end. But I think there's a few drivers out there that are due a win, and that's Grosjean and Kimi. Mm. I think the Renault team deserve a win this year. They've been unlucky not to win. I think also there is a situation with a couple of drivers that are competitive at the moment that are, should we say, a little bit excitable at the start, and that's Maldonado and Grosjean. Mm. I think both of those guys need to just control their emotions when they are at the start of the race. But that aside, it's been great racing. DRS, I know a lot of people criticizes, and there are certain races like Canada where they are maybe open too long. But on the whole, I think the FIA are really in control of it. The DRS has worked really well, as has Kurz. Kurz is not quite so obvious to the general public, whereas DRS is. It's a great season. I've thoroughly enjoyed every... I mean, in the past, Greg, I would, with Sky Plus, I will watch some of the race at plus 30 because it gets boring. There's not one race this year that I've watched at fast speed, because if you do, you miss something. So it's been a great season, really.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a nightmare to do a live text report on as well, I can tell you that.
I bet it is.
Yeah, it is indeed. What about Kimi then? Because I remember you saying when we spoke earlier in the year, good riddance to him when he first left F1. He didn't really care about anyone. Then you were pleasantly surprised he was coming back. What about now then? He's not done too badly at all, has he?
Well, you know what? I wasn't Kimi's biggest fan when he stopped, because I thought that his heart wasn't in it, and I don't like to see people driving in a privileged situation that their heart's not in it. He'd lost his love for Formula One, and I thought, bloody good riddance to you. You know, as far as I was concerned, you were a taker in terms of Formula One and not a giver.
Yeah.
And that I don't like. I like people, if they're in Formula One, I like drivers and teams to appreciate where they are and make sure they give something back to the sport. And I didn't see Kimi as that person. So when I heard he was coming back, I just thought, oh, here we go again. Just somebody trying to earn a few bob and get back into Formula One. And how wrong I was. I think he's been exciting. I love the fact that Kimi's back in Formula One now, because I think that he's bringing a maturity now that he didn't have when he left. He's bringing the same excitement as when he first came into Formula One. And I think there's not a spectator that wouldn't like to see Kimi win a race this year. He's been phenomenal. He's against Grosjean, who people could argue is not a proven pedigree, but we within the sport know that he's quick. You don't win GP2 championships unless you're quick. And I think Kimi has been absolutely sensational. He's the one guy that when Lewis doesn't win, I'd like to see win.
And just one more quick thing for me, Derek, if you would. Obviously, this is your first British Grand Prix now as BRDC president. So how's that going to change things for you? How's your weekend going to be panning out?
My weekend's going to be busy. There's not a moment in my days that I'm not going to be doing something. It's probably my weakest link. I don't really like the idea of having to give speeches and stand up and make presentations and all that sort of stuff. It's not my forte. I understand the business. I understand the members. I think I work quite well on the board and on the committees. I really enjoy my time with the BIDC. I'm now a real live member of the BIDC in such of the history of the club, the history of the members, the history of its drivers, for me is so important, and the future of our young drivers we've got coming through is really, really exciting. But this weekend, pressure, and it's not a pressure I like, it's a pressure I don't like. So I will fumble through, and I hope the weather picks up a little bit, because I want to make sure that our fans that come and watch this great race have a wonderful experience, and that for me is paramount, to make sure they come back next year and support three of the greatest drivers in Formula One.
Well, look, very best of luck. I'm sure that will go well there. One more question. Don't really like to ask this, but I have to. If you had to put your Honda dealership on one winner for the British Grand Prix, who's it going to be?
Oh, Jesus, West.
Lottery. No.
I mean, I've just answered this exact question, and it's such a difficult question because of the tyres, and that is that Alonso always goes well at the British Grand Prix. Mark Webber is always an underdog at the British Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton, when he's fired up for the British Grand Prix, is sensational. And you can never write Sebastian Vettel off. So how about that for a prediction then?
Excellent.
So if I've really got to put a name to the first place, it's got to be Lewis, because it's very important to the future of Silverstone and to the future of the BRDC.
Well, it might end up being Maldonado again. You never know. Let's see what happens.
If it's Maldonado, I will go home crying.